Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Schools in Juneau were closed again today as the capital city continues to dig out from successive snowstorms. Snow turned into rain in the morning, creating pooling in streets and making conditions slippery. City crews are working to clear storm drains. An avalanche alert remains in effect for residents in the Mount Juneau Slide Path and along Thane Road. The National Weather Service forecasts that more rain is on the way later in the week as an atmospheric river moves into the region. That will make the existing snowpack dense and difficult to move. And the roof of the Bill Ray Center, an empty building on F Street in downtown Juneau, collapsed today after back-to-back snowstorms. Although the rain has melted some of the several feet of snow that's accumulated over more than a week, dripping roofs can still hold a lot of weight. The warm-up has also caused roadways to pool with water due to poor drainage from snow and ice blocking storm drains. The snowpack is also becoming more dense and harder to move. That's made it more risky for those who are shoveling roofs. Spencer Goodwin is taking a break from his day job as a property manager to shovel roofs for as low as $1,000 and up to $4,000 for the biggest homes. He says that at first, he was in it for the cash.
Now it's become desperation to try to save buildings at this point.
He says his body aches after several days of shoveling, so now he's coordinating crews with fresh arms. He had three men fly in from Anchorage yesterday morning to help. It's a dangerous job. Goodwin told KTOO that two members of his crew fell from a roof, but that they were all right.
But as the snow gets heavier, it becomes, and wetter, it becomes more slippery on the roofs, becomes a little bit more dangerous.
And he says he's been turning away requests because his crews just can't fill them all. At this point, it appears the market isn't meeting the roof clearing demand. Residents looking for help with roofs must decide whether to wait for someone who's licensed and insured or take the risk of hiring someone who could potentially get injured. The National Weather Service estimates that a flat roof can hold approximately 4.04 pounds per square foot, based on the ground measurements made this morning at the agency's forecast office in Mendenhall Valley. Juneau emergency officials say that's about the weight capacity for most homes built before 1991. And boxes of food, mail, and late Christmas presents arrived by plane to the small southeast Alaska fishing town of Pelican on New Year's Day. The goods came after the isolated town went more than a month without access to outside services. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
From late November till New Year's Day, the Chichikov Island town of Pelican relied completely on itself. Extreme weather this winter prevented any seaplanes or ferries from visiting during that period, leaving its roughly 90 residents cut off from the rest of the region and the services many rely on. However, that all changed on New Year's Day last week when Alaska Seaplanes sent five planes loaded with goods.
So we have kind of like a shot in our arm just like to make it.
That's Heather Bryant. She lives in Pelican year-round and co-owns the Pelican General Store with her husband. It's the town's only grocery store. She says the flights on New Year's Day were a lifeline.
But definitely more and more people have been just coming into the store just because they're, you know, mining their pantries and I think are running out of stuff.
Pelican is off the road system and relies exclusively on planes and boats visiting from Juneau and other parts of Southeast to bring outside resources and services. But in recent weeks, Southeast Alaska has been pummeled with record-breaking snow and cold temperatures. An Allen Marine catamaran was supposed to head from Juneau to Pelican on Tuesday, but was canceled due to hazardous conditions. Another flight from Alaska Seaplanes made the trip instead. Bryant says the deliveries, which included milk and eggs, produce and mail, will help them make it through for the time being.
I mean, we'll be okay for a little bit and hopefully long enough to make it to the, you know, the next plane or the next catamaran or I hope. I'm just trying to be positive.
Bryant says the town is resilient despite all the cancellations.
The one thing I really like about out here is just people are just they just keep going.
Carl Ramseth is the general manager of Alaska Seaplanes. He says the recent weather has prevented many flights from visiting Pelican and other float plane destinations in Southeast Alaska, like Angoon, Elfin Cove, and Tenneke Springs. But pilots and operators fly when they can, like on New Year's Day, when the company typically doesn't operate.
As long as we have the minimum temperature that we need to do that with float planes and good visibility, we'll be operating. We're just kind of at the mercy of Mother Nature at this point.
An Allen Marine vessel is slated to arrive at the end of the month. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And Haines and Skagway have suffered through weeks of bitterly cold temperatures and feet of snow as well. Snowfall in Haines has been so heavy that residents are also worried about roof loads. As KTNS's Melinda Munson reports, community members are caring for each other in these extreme conditions with shovels and the internet.
When the National Weather Service reported snow depth of 36 inches over the weekend, Haines resident Sherry Loomis started making a list on Facebook.
People coming back to Haines and their vehicles were buried, and they were learning about this as they were traveling. There's not a shovel in their car. It wasn't that way when they left. And so requests started being put on social media. Can someone help dig my rig out at the ferry terminal parking lot? And pretty soon these other requests started coming on social media.
Those requests vary from shoveling off roofs to clearing paths for heating fuel deliveries. Loomis organizes the list items and marks them when they are complete. Community members are rallying to take off items, but as of Monday afternoon, 19 structures are requesting a service, and Loomis expects the number to grow with more incoming bad weather.
I just had the daughter of a 91-year-old woman contact me with a house right downtown that the roof needs clearing, and they're very concerned of structural failure. Another one out at LUTAC, the carport is in danger of collapsing on two vehicles. It just goes on and on.
Haines Mayor Tom Morfitt says that while this isn't the most snowfall Haines has ever received, the timing has been brutal. It's on top of the 5 feet of snow that fell last month.
I think what we're seeing is people who are exhausted, people who are burning up their fuel supplies or their budget for oil, now having to get out and, you know, shovel till they're eating a lot of ibuprofen and just a lot of sustained stress. And that's understandable completely, considering that this cold snap is one of the longer cold snaps I remember in my 40 years in Haines.
And while everyone is hoping for a warm-up, too much melting snow carries the risk of an avalanche.
We're kind of standing by and hoping and praying that when the thaw comes, it's a gradual one and not a rapid one.
While Skagway's snow depth on January 3rd was 13 inches, nearly 2 feet less than Haines, residents have been having their own issues. The intense cold has caused numerous frozen pipes and broken furnaces. Skagway has no plumber, so residents reach out to whoever is available to help. Fuel is burning faster than normal, so residents are reminded to frequently check their heating oil levels, even if they recently had a refill. On Sunday morning, shortly after midnight, the Petro Marine Services truck was out making emergency deliveries. Haines' mayor cautions residents to keep their heating vents clear, and the Haines Fire Department asks residents to find their closest hydrant and shovel it out. Again, Mayor Morfitt.
We understand, I think, in the north that weather can be fatal, and it's a serious thing.
But so far, he says the Upperland Canal is doing okay. Sherry Loomis asks that other Haines residents continue to keep her updated on what tasks are completed so she can update the request list.
I'm just really overwhelmed with, and I have so much gratitude for the people that are helping others right now. It could be a matter of saving someone's house.
The forecast calls for snow continuing through Thursday and then turning to a mix of rain and snow next weekend. In Chicago, I'm Melinda Munson.
And some Alaska Airlines passengers were hit with surprising bills for checked baggage that used to fly for free within the state. As KYUK's Evan Erickson reports, the company says it's working to quickly reverse an issue with its Club 49 program that's affected a baggage benefit.
Bethel resident Shane Iverson says he was shocked last weekend when he stepped up to the Alaska Airlines counter at the Anchorage airport to check in for the flight home.
I had two kids. We each had three items to check in, so 9 items. So yeah, I was sitting there with a ton of boxes and luggage when they told me they were going to have to charge me for most of it.
For a long time, Alaska Airlines has had a policy of allowing 3 free checked bags per person within the state. Iverson says maxing out on luggage is something a lot of Bethel residents do. That policy used to apply to anyone flying wholly within Alaska. But in October, Alaska Airlines announced it would soon be limited to Alaska residents enrolled in its Club 49 loyalty program. In an emailed statement on Monday, Alaska Airlines spokesperson Tim Thompson confirmed that some but not all Club 49 members have been incorrectly charged bag fees since a new baggage policy went into effect on January 3rd. Current Club 49 members do not need to re-enroll in the program. Thompson says the problem may be resolved as early as Wednesday. Meanwhile, customers can get bag fees waived at ticket counters by showing they have Club 49 status in the mobile app or by showing proof of Alaska residency. Club 49 members who were incorrectly charged bag fees should contact customer service for assistance. Iverson says he has been disappointed to find that other Bethel residents affected by the error also had little idea of what to make of it.
Who's ever in charge of communicating really needs to do a better job, because in rural Alaska, we follow this closely. It really affects our lives.
Meanwhile, Alaska Airlines' new baggage policy means non-Club 49 members without other special statuses are on the hook for new fees. According to reporting by KNOM, non-members without an Atmos Rewards credit card or elite status now need to pay at least $230 to check three bags within Alaska. On top of the three free bags, Club 49 membership offers two free checked bags for flights to and from Alaska. You can confirm enrollment in Club 49 online by opening your profile drop-down menu, clicking Account Overview, and navigating to Membership Card. On the mobile app, click the Account tab and scroll down to Atmos Rewards and Member Card. In Bethel, I'm Evan Erickson.
And ski patrollers at Alyeskar Ski Resort in Girdwood rescued a dog from a deep ravine last week that had been missing for 13 days. Otis, who's described as a friendly Bernese mountain dog who loves snacks, was reported missing on December 17th from his home in Girdwood. Bade Salmon is the mountain communications manager at Alyeska. He says a staff member heard a faint bark as they were headed up the lift for an early morning shift last Monday.
Later that day, another patroller on staff heard another bark while they were heading up the same chairlift, and upon further review, looked into the canyon and noticed a brown fuzzy dog deep in the canyon.
Salmon says a team of five patrollers grabbed rescue gear, found an entrance to the ravine, and after coaxing Otis with treats, were able to harness and lift him out. Salmon says the dog then walked down to the aid room with his tail wagging, where he got water and lots of love from his rescuers.
It's really positive, you know, jovial. Everyone was thrilled to find him, and just hard to believe how long Otis had been out there, and to find him in good condition was a miracle, truly.
The spot Otis was found in is extremely steep, technical terrain. From start to finish, she says, the rescue took about 2 hours. Salmon wasn't directly involved in this rescue, but it sounds like Otis was a good patient.
He was not enthusiastic about wearing the dog evac harness, but I think his exhaustion from his long, cold adventure led him to mostly just be still and calm as we raised him out of the canyon. Overall, he's a good boy.
He said he heard Otis lost some weight, but is happy to be back home. This is KTOO.